promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the number one internet radio show anywhere. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Stephanie in the Morning. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, dial them up right now at 323-203-0815. And now strap in for Sam and Stephanie in the Morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, April 25th. We're back in the studio live.
Good morning, Sam.
Stephanie smiling as always, bright as the sunshine.
Oh,
the Southern California sunshine.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm awesome. Yeah. Awesome, awesome.
Great. Well, we have two great guests in the studio. We'll bring them in just a second. And it sounds fascinating, like what they do and stuff.
Oh,
so
I can't
we'll
wait
find
to hear.
Out about
beautiful,
it.
Beautiful guests.
Yes. And did you have a nice weekend?
I did.
Yes?
I have to say, my
was it dog filled again or?
It was a little dog filled. I went hiking yesterday with my two and then
but
the foster.
But you didn't rescue
Chester.
Any?
No, but Jack found a home. I told you.
Oh,
did I tell
okay.
You this?
No.
He is like the place where we initially brought Chester.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to leave him there, you know, and he attacked the chicken. Remember
mm-hmm.
I told you that?
Yeah.
Okay. So Jack, we left there, and Charity, the woman with her family, they love Jack, and mm-hmm. they actually said to me, I said, hey, I'll come pick him up tomorrow, you know, and she was like, actually, I think we're going to keep him. And I was
like, oh my God.
And it's just such an amazing place, like huge mm-hmm. 12 acres, you know, goats, chickens, horses, kids. It's just, he's amazing.
Yeah.
So I couldn't.
Well, you're a saint.
It.
You know, you get.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
You get
that.
A free pass to heaven.
Oh, thanks,
at least to
Sammy.
Dog heaven.
At
you
least
know?
To dog heaven. Great. So I can be with a bunch of dogs, which is probably better for me anyway.
Exactly. You'd feel at home. You know?
Right. So, no, this weekend, my best friend called, who I've known since kindergarten.
Really?
And yeah, she's my dearest friend in the world. And I, oh, God, she's awesome because she's so opposite of me.
Right.
She's super mellow. Laid back, so we get along, and she just makes me laugh like nobody else. And so she calls me this weekend, and she just had her second child, a daughter, Emily, and she asked me to be her godmother.
Oh, how
and
cool.
I was crying, and she was crying, and it was like, you know, it was just so, it was awesome. Like I couldn't be more honored about it. I'm flying in there at the end of May to go to the christening. And,
wow, how cool.
Yeah, so I'm so excited. But I do have to tell you this. She's one of these people that just like, you probably won't think this is funny, but this is just the most retarded story ever. She went to Florida with me one year because every year we go to Disney World with my family goes to Disney World. We're Disney obsessed.
Really?
Okay,
wow.
It's a little ridiculous. Like we have Disney stuff in our house. We have Disney rooms. Like my parents are obsessed.
Really?
So anyway, she comes with me one year, and we go to Animal Kingdom, which is one of the parks there, right? And there's this ride that we go on. It was the whitewater rafting ride. And like, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Disney, but they really do it up. Like, on the rides, when you walk in there, they place things, like, they make it pretty. Like, the props, everything. It's just, it's like you're walking onto a set. And as these actresses know, like, it's amazing what they do.
Right.
So we're walking there, and I'm with my whole family and Lauren, and and all of a sudden, like as we're walking through, we're not even up to the where we get on yet.
Right.
And there's like a bunch of shoes that are laying there, but it's part of the set.
Right.
She proceeds to take her shoes off. Like she's just taking her shoes off. And
right.
I'm like, and she places them by the shoes. And I go, what are you doing? And she was like, we have to take our shoes off. And I was like, all of us, my dad, my brothers, my mom, we all look at each other and we burst out laughing. We're
really?
Like, Lauren, look at the shoes. They are, I'm not kidding, for midgets. These shoes are like this big or for like little Asian people. They are not even close to being people's shoes.
Absolutely.
And she puts them, she takes them off thinking, oh, we have to take our shoes off. And I was like, Lauren, what the hell are you doing? And so she realized what she did. And I'm sitting here like, Lauren, even if you did take them off, who would think, like, would you even be able to find them again? Like, how would you know that people wouldn't steal them? Yeah. But we were laughing so hard in this meeting, we were talking about it, and it's one of my favorite stories of her, and I know it's not that funny to you guys, you had to be there, but it was awesome. And I love her, and I'm so excited to be a godmother to her daughter, and it's just so.
That's cool. Yeah. That's a big deal.
It is. Yeah. Even my own brother didn't even ask me, but my best friend did. So I'm actually really excited about it. So that was really it. Nothing crazy. Saw some friends and
sounds good.
Hung out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you, sir?
And me. Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Absolutely nothing.
Red?
Yeah.
Red. Saw the kids. What else?
Yeah. That's true. I did do that. But that's about it. We didn't really do anything special. Dina was sick all weekend, so we didn't really do much.
Okay?
Yeah, she's fine. She just got a cold, you know.
Do you take care of her, Sam? Do you make her chicken soup?
Yeah, I bring her water to bed.
That's awesome. Did you make any food? Nothing? You just starved her?
No, I don't make food. Excuse me.
That's
I'll go buy it if you want.
That actually sounds like me. I don't cook either.
Yeah. So let's quickly, wanted to touch on the topic before we bring our guests in.
Yeah, okay.
So we were talking about abusive relationships on Friday.
Yes. Yes.
And we got a lot of response on that. A couple people have written to me as well.
Oh,
and so then we got an email today from this person who said that he's in a mentally abusive relationship, right?
Yes, he said he was, but he loves her son.
Right. And he loves their own kid. They have a kid together, too.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, that's
that
what he said.
Well?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have a kid together and she has a son. And he never left a name, so I don't know who I'm talking about.
No, Oh, I have a child with her. Yes, sorry. And yes. I love her son as well, so I just don't know what to do.
Right. He doesn't know what to do. So, Stephanie.
So, I am by no means
the stage
a
is
therapist.
Don't take this as a professional therapy.
No. Not at all. This is my opinion. And thank you, first of all, for taking the time to listen and to write in about this. And I can only speak from my own experience. To this person, I would say that, you know, you have to do obviously what's best for you. Like, I understand there's a lot of people that will let people walk all over each other or all over themselves.
Right.
And I've done it. I'm sure we've all done it at some point in our lives.
Right.
But the question is this person that you're with isn't necessarily a bad woman. She obviously has things that she needs to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe go to counseling with her. Maybe, you know, sit down and confront her about it and don't put her on the defense, but just say, hey, like, I really want to be with you, and I want things to grow with us. So there's things that I want that my needs aren't being met, and vice versa. I want to know if there's things that aren't being met for you, and maybe we can go to counseling and work on this together if you really do love her.
You know?
I mean, I think it's worth it, but if you feel like this is something beyond you, then maybe you do have to walk away. But I can't sit there and say to you what's best for you. You're the only person that's ever going to know. And you're going to know when it's time to do something about it or time to leave. And I knew when it was time to leave for me.
Right. Now, do you think if someone is abusive, they can change their ways eventually?
I think so. I'm a firm believer in people can change if they want to.
Mm.
Not if they're ever forced to.
Right.
Not if I'm to say to my lover, hey, you know what? I think you should change. It has to come from you.
Right.
So I think this person could change. But it's a matter of how do you confront this person?
Right.
And, you know, do you want to confront this person or do you want to stay? I mean, there's so many things that play into, especially when you have kids too.
Mm.
You know, you're obviously thinking about the kids and what they're growing up in, and you don't want to see, you know, them fighting, you two fighting all the time, and her being mentally abusive to you, because that's not good for the kids to see.
Obviously, right.
So, you know, again, my advice, this is only my advice. I am not at all a trained therapist by any means, but I would say for you, really ask yourself, do you want to be with this person? And not just because of the kids. If you were to take the kids out of the equation, think about, do you want to be with this woman for the rest of your life?
Right.
Does she fulfill all your needs? Is she the person that you see in 20, 30 years at your side that's going to stand by you? I mean, these are all questions you have to ask yourself. And I know that kids are a big thing, but you can also be happy with somebody else if it's not this person. She's not a bad person.
Right.
but you have to decide for yourself. That would be my
advice. She's probably stuck in her own shit too, you know, probably grew up in an abusive family and things like that, and that's all she knows, you know.
That's all she knows. So there's not necessarily anything wrong with her. It's just she's got stuff to work through.
Right.
And maybe she doesn't see that she's being mentally abusive to you. And who knows? I don't even know if you've ever told her, you know, if you never said anything, then she just thinks it's okay.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, but it does happen, I guess, huh? Men get to be victims as well.
Oh, men and women. And women can be.
Yeah.
We all know here, ladies, we can be a little tough. But, you know, both go through it. Unfortunately, the physical abuse, you know, more often is men to women.
Right.
You know, but women can be physically abusive to men. I mean,
even physically, I know.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
But
so,
that would be my advice. I wish you the best of luck with it. I know that you know the answer for you. And, you know, we're always here if you want to call in. But, again, this is just my advice. This is not anything that, you know.
Right.
I would seek help if you're really, really confused.
Right. Okay, well, that sounds like a good answer to me. And,
I feel like you need some music in the background.
Yeah. I'll give you some music.
Thanks, Sammy.
And so just finally, I wanted to tell you, I watched the first episode of Rose by Any Other Name.
Yeah.
And it's kind of short, but it's cool. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
because
you gotta, keep people's attention when they watch this stuff. You
gotta watch them all, Sam.
I know, but that's what I was gonna ask you: is where do I find the rest of them?
They're
I went on YouTube, and only the first episode is there.
Oh, really? Go to Facebook.
Facebook.
There's a Facebook, and you can like Rose by Any Other Name, and then you can watch all of them.
Really?
Because
I did go to the page, I think.
Really?
And they didn't have
I'll have to send you the link.
Right.
Yeah, so it's easier for you.
Okay,
I'll
but people have to be able to find it, you know?
I know,
not
that's
just when
weird. They were on YouTube. I don't
really?
Know why that they're not anymore.
Yeah,
they,
you better talk to the guy again.
Oh,
you know,
right.
And, yeah. Tell him, put him back up.
I will tell.
Because
no,
I realized it's like, you know, if someone wants to watch it, it's too hard to find.
No, of course.
Let alone people that don't know about it, and you want them to stumble on it.
Of course, of course. No. Well, I know there's a Facebook page, but I will ask Kyle and see why it's not on YouTube anymore.
Yeah.
And see what
but
else. Thank you.
You look damn cute there. You, your hair was shorter,
I know. My hair was really short. Thanks.
They made you look like so innocent.
yes, but I'm so not.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like the nice girl in this.
Yeah.
But anyway, speaking
of actresses. But it's good. You
actresses,
guys should definitely watch this. Rose by Any
thank
Other
you.
Name.
I'll look for it.
Stephanie Reibel, you get the first credit on the screen, too.
No. Well, damn right. I play Rose.
Yeah.
I should. thank you for telling me that, though, so I can tell Kyle.
Of course.
But
okay,
yes, speaking of
beautiful,
exciting,
actresses,
talented
guests.
Actresses, here we go.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
And get close to the mic and stuff. And we have Amelia Jackson Gray, and we have Lori Prudence in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And you guys just, we'll get into your careers and everything, but you guys just released a movie that you're both in. Why don't you tell us about it? Amelia, go ahead.
Well, we released it on, it came out officially April 22nd, which was Friday.
Friday.
We had the premiere just a few days before that on the Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first independent film that's in 3D, that's an action thriller.
Wow.
And
3D.
We play sort of these action girls in the film.
Uh-huh.
I actually learned to scuba dive for the role. I play...
Wow, how cool.
...a British journalist called Claire Simpson, who's working for National Geographic.
Uh-huh.
And she's sort of the villain of the piece. We
don't tell too much now.
I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, we later discover that she's not quite who she says she is.
Really?
Uh-oh.
How cool.
And
the movie's called Deep Gold.
It is.
Trust No One.
And we filmed in the Philippines, which
was
really exciting.
How was that?
It was incredible. It was so beautiful. It's on the island of Cebu. I think it was the first movie that they've ever shot on this island.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it before.
And it was a very international cast. And it was also, you know, the crews. We had a crew from Hong Kong. We had a crew from Manila. The DP was from L.A. And it was just great people.
How long did you guys shoot for?
This movie's been quite a while in the works. but we filmed this movie about 4 months, and then most of the cast left. I stayed, actually, because I was doing other stuff in Asia. But there were so many issues with, like, the underwater tanks, because not all these underwater scenes were done in the actual Philippine Ocean.
Right.
They
was
had
in
to
a
build
pool
this,
or something?
It's
or?
This huge tank that the director built.
Uh-huh.
And the first try didn't go well. It was leaking. Not a good sign. So they had to tear it down and build it back up. So they had to bring back some of the actors for that to reshoot and everything. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I'm scared to say how long it took. I don't know.
Probably not as long as Waterworld. So I
probably
think you're okay.
Not that long. Not that long.
It was like 8 months or something. Crazy.
Yeah.
With Kevin Costner, nobody saw it. Anyways, but Deep Gold. Okay, so go on. So they built a tank in the Philippines.
Yes, they built the tank in the Philippines, and the movie is filled with like beautiful cinematography. Like the shots are amazing, because I've lived in Asia quite a bit because I was modeling there. That's my background.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie definitely showcased that, because when I first flew to Asia, they tell me, oh, you're going to Cebu. I'm thinking they just spelled Cuba wrong. I'm like, okay, why do I have to fly 18 hours to Cuba? I'm in Florida. What's going on here? But then, you know, I'm just like kind of crazy in spirit of moments. I get on this plane and I'm like flying. I'm like, where the heck am I going?
Wow.
Like, and then when I landed and it was, and it's like in the Philippines, and you know, my background is Haitian, so I'm used to a third world country. That's, you know, that wasn't shocking to me, but it's definitely a totally different world.
It was shocking to me. I've never seen anything like it.
I'm sure.
I'd never been to Asia either. It was my first time flying all the way over there, and just landing and getting off the plane and seeing goats and chickens and cows and children and cars that don't look like cars and everything.
You've never seen children before?
No,
just kidding. I'm kidding.
Everything in the streets,
though. I'm kidding, honey. I'm just it's like India, kind of, huh?
Yeah.
Where it's like
it
just
was
poverty and
similar, yeah.
Yeah.
Really.
Wow.
Yeah, which Stephanie loves. She loves poverty.
Okay, settle down there. I said I wanted to go to India. I didn't say I love poverty.
Yeah. But that's the first thing you brought up about India.
Well, I will say that even though it's like it's a poor country, there's so much beauty about it. And the people, it's like they're unaware of their situation. I don't know, but they're always happy. There's always joy in their life, from the little kids to the adults. They're so appreciative to everything that they have.
Well,
and it kind of put things... Yeah, that's what they know. And like me, who is from Miami, where it's all about materialistic things, you can kind of lose yourself in that. So it was really nice going there and like finding joy in picking my own bananas to eat. And it was just like, oh, this is nice, you know?
Really beautiful.
And Sam thinks I'm crazy because I want to go live in India for...
I do think you're crazy, but that's besides the point.
You'll survive. You'll survive. I've lived all over Asia. You'll survive.
Yeah.
That's so great.
So, Amelia, was it a shock for you? I mean, you seem like a proper girl from England and everything, maybe innocent a little. Was it a little shocking for you to come to a place like that?
It was, arriving the first time and never having been to Asia, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing the chaos, basically. I mean, it was very chaotic for me to see that. And Asia, as you probably know if you've been before, is a wonderful place. I absolutely love it. And I've been back since and filmed a movie, actually, last year in India, which was fantastic. I loved it. But going there for the first time, they do things so differently in the East to the way they do it in the West. And so it was a culture shock, but I soon got used to it. And like Laurie says, the people were fantastic. They were so fun. They love to party. And you know, they're just so grateful and so helpful and happy, and you just would never guess that, you know, these people are living in the conditions that they live in.
But they don't know any different. Like,
yeah,
they don't
exactly.
know
they
what
don't. Exactly.
For us to go there, it's like such a shock, but for them it's normal life.
Yeah.
That's what they've known.
It's like we know everything, so we want everything, and when we don't have it, we get depressed, you know?
Exactly.
For them, it's just, give me a banana, I'm fine, you know? They don't ask for too much.
So, Amelia, where are you from in England?
I'm originally from the north. I grew up in the Yorkshire Dales.
Okay.
But then we moved down to York, which is a little bit sort of south of the Yorkshire Dales, not too far.
Okay.
And that's where my family are based, but I've been over here in Los Angeles for 8 years now.
Oh.
Wow.
You like it?
Oh, love it. I'm a California girl at heart.
We just had an actress on last week from, where was she from?
Yes.
Reading?
Oh, Laura?
Yes.
Laura,
do you know
Waddell?
Her?
Yeah, she's a good friend of ours.
Oh, how
yeah.
funny.
Yeah. They have the same publicist. That's
oh.
We got them all, yeah.
I
they have a lot in common.
British.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I did a lot of the looping and the news bulletins on the Will and Kate movie.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I actually got to see the movie before she did, and I got to see her, you know, her scenes and stuff, and she was great. And then really? So since then, I've just been following her a lot, you know, her publicity and stuff that she's been
yeah.
doing. And then, you know, we've just been becoming friends, and we've been promoting our movie Deep Gold. Mm-hmm. And so we invited her along to come with us to the Gold Party, which was the release party we had at Cress on Saturday night.
That's wow. so great.
And it was, you know, she's such a sweet girl.
Yeah, yeah. She's great. She's
so awesome. Now at what point did you decide you want to act and move to Hollywood?
Well, I've always known. It's always been a need in me to be an actress.
Really?
I think it's in my blood. My grandmother was an actress as well.
Really?
She went to RADA and she did a lot of repertory theatre, which is how I started my career.
Mm.
And I think it jumped a generation because my mother just had no
totally
interest.
Not into
she,
it.
You know, she supports me so much, but she absolutely cannot understand why her mother and her daughter would want to ever be an actress. But you know, I think it's a need that you have and that you're born with. If you just know it's a calling. It was a calling for me from
wow.
a very young age.
Yeah. And then did you try anything in England or did you immediately move here?
I went to drama school in England at a school called Arts International. And then I went into repertory theatre and did lots and lots of theatre over there. Lots of Shakespeare and comedies and dramas and all sorts of things. Farce. I had a lot of fun doing that, and I did a little bit of voiceovers and advertising on screen, you know, commercials in London. But I moved here pretty much right at the start of my career and decided that I wanted to build my career here because when I was young, from 4 until I was 8 years old, my parents lived in California. So I always had the California thing in my blood. And it wasn't just because of Hollywood that I wanted to move here. It was the quality of life. And it was like those childhood memories that were very strong in me.
Well, you want quality of life. That's the wrong place to live. But but it's all relative, you know. No, but I hear what you say.
Yeah.
Go on.
Sunshine and the mountains and the hiking and the camping. And I'm such an outdoor enthusiast. And this is why Deep Gold was actually such a great fit for me, because I'm such an adventurous spirit, and learning to scuba dive for the role just was the most exciting thing.
I was going to say, you were totally okay with scuba diving. I would be terrified.
I was terrified before going.
Really?
But you know, once you get involved, it's actually very relaxing.
Really?
And you feel very safe. It's very controlled. It's if you've been snorkeling before.
Mm-mm.
It's snorkeling is so much more uncomfortable than scuba diving, because you know you're in a bikini and you've got jewelry like dangling around your neck, and fish, you know, when you go scuba diving, they teach you to take anything silver and shiny and shimmery off of you, because fish think it's food. They think it's little fish and they can attack you. So when you're, you know, when you're snorkeling, you're on the surface flapping around like a seal or some sort of fish food. You've got, you know, a bright red bikini on and jewelry dangling around your neck, and you can't breathe and you're swallowing all the salt water, and it's very uncomfortable. But scuba diving's totally the opposite. It's very relaxing. You can breathe perfectly well. You're in a wetsuit. You're amongst, you know, you're in that world. You're amongst the fish in their world.
Aren't you scared of sharks?
I actually dived the blue hole last year.
Oh, God, what does that even mean? I don't even know what that means.
The blue hole is this amazing dive in Belize, and it's Jacques Cousteau, who's one of the most famous underwater explorers. Mm-hmm. It was his favorite dive. And I wanted to go and check this out since learning to scuba dive for the movie. I, you know, just fell in love with the sport, and so I wanted to go to Belize and check out this dive. It's a underwater cave, and to get beneath the rim you have to go 140 feet, which is exceptionally deep for a dive. And you're underneath the rim and you're swimming through all these stalactites and stalagmites, and I was surrounded by a whole school of reef sharks. We saw 10 reef sharks down there. And they just they call them the dogs of the ocean. They just come and they hover and they check you out, and they just hover around you for like, you know, couple of minutes, and then they disappear.
That's it.
And but seeing that many sharks in the wild was the most terrifying experience.
Wow.
But it was amazing. It was,
I am freaking out just listening to this. I can't take it. Oh my God, I would have a heart attack. I would.
I almost did, but I'm still here to tell the tale.
But it's good. You've gotten over your fear of it now, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
See, maybe I should do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you like swimming, do you like swimming?
I was a synchronized swimmer.
Oh, you do?
Oh, really?
I love
yeah,
it. That's something you don't know about.
No, I don't.
It's such a dork. It's synchronized swimming.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a synchronized swimmer, you would absolutely be a natural at this.
I know, but it's things in the water that touch me, and I can't see, and I literally cringe thinking about it. Like, did you see the movie Open Water?
Yes.
Okay. Were you, nobody was in it. Was anybody in it?
No.
Okay. Does anybody know anyone that was in it? Okay. The movie sucked. But I was so scared. Like, they went scuba diving, deep sea diving, whatever, mm-hmm. and these two were left there. Mm-hmm. Now, they're stupid, for one, because they weren't paying attention. But they were left there, and then they were eaten. Like, I can't, that would be my biggest fear, like being left there and then I would be eaten by a shark.
And that's like in the middle of the ocean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even thinking about Jaws is one of my favorite films, mm-hmm. Which it's such a brilliant film and how it came together and how it took so long to make and they had all these problems with the mechanical shark and all this stuff. Even the mechanical shark, I am terrified of. I remember when I was like, 10 years old, my father made us watch this movie.
Really?
And scarred me for the longest time. I hated him for it because I was like, he gave me, I think that's why I'm scared of sharks is because of him.
Yeah.
And now I appreciate it as a film, you know, like Steven Spielberg as a filmmaker and what he did. Mm-hmm. But it still, like, I don't know if I could be in that movie because I'm that scared of.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
well,
I think doing it, you get over your fear.
You think?
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
I should.
But I have a trivia question for you.
Oh, we love trivia here.
What
here
did they name that mechanical shark? Do you know?
Damn it. No.
They
that
had
is
like a nickname
one.
For it.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
No.
This. You are good.
He was named Bruce. That's what they named it.
Bruce.
Yeah.
Bruce.
And they had a few of them, actually, you know, but someone actually driving it inside like a submarine,
yeah.
You know.
There was quite a few. There was a whole documentary on the making of Jaws and how long it took and how it was
really?
So difficult. It was so fascinating.
Yeah.
But I did not look at you.
Yeah, you see Mr. Trivia here.
I do trivia every day and I always ask him for questions and he never gives it to me.
Yeah, so
and
now
there
she
we
got
go.
One.
And now we got one. But speaking of, I wanted to say this before we go into you, Lori. You said that fish don't like shiny things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any animals like shiny things.
Really?
Right? So I have this story. I think this is one of my favorite stories that my friend told me. So a good friend of mine, he's actually on a TV show. He hosts a TV show on the Sci-Fi Network called Destination Truth. Everybody watch it. He's amazing. Josh Gates, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Nepal many years ago. And he went on this excursion. There was a bunch of people. And they went to... See, I'm really bad with geography. So somewhere in Nepal, they decided to go. And they all took a bus, okay? Mm-hmm. That's all I can tell you. They all took a bus. And they were going for the day, and they were going to a place where all these wild monkeys are, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So on the bus ride there, the guide is like, look, anybody that has jewelry on or glasses, anything shiny, put away.
Mm.
It freaks them out. And any kind of food, put away. Because
mm-hmm.
these are wild monkeys. You don't know what they're going to do.
Right.
And they're just roaming. There's no cages. There's no nothing. Okay, so everyone's taking off their stuff, putting things away. They get to their destination. They all get off the bus. They're all standing there. And there is a girl who's like 13 years old with her mother. She's got a backpack. And there's monkeys all around. And Josh sees one up at the top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just kind of just staring at it for whatever reason, just seeing it. And the monkey's like staring at all of them, just watching them closely. And all of a sudden, Josh hears this girl like go into her. He's standing next to her, go into her backpack. And she pulls out. I shit you not, a Three Musketeers bar. Okay? Shiny and food. The two things that you should not bring out. Okay? And her mother doesn't say anything to her. So Josh is like thinking like, what the hell is she doing?
Whoa.
And all of a sudden, he looks over and he sees this monkey galloping at high speed down the hill as fast as he can towards the girl, jumps in the air, punches the girl in the face.
Wow.
And grabs the Three Musketeer bar and runs off. And the girl starts bawling. And my friend is dying laughing. And everybody is just like mortified that this just happened. But he did not give a shit. He was like, I am taking this Three Musketeers bar. I'm going to punch you right in the face. And I'm leaving. And I would pay money. I'm sorry. I hope this girl's okay. I would pay money to see something like that. I would too. I swear to God, I would pee in my pants. I would laugh so hard.
It was so funny.
But apparently, fish don't like shiny things either.
Yeah,
they think it's food.
See, there you go. Yeah. So don't wear anything shiny.
We won't. So how long does it take to learn scuba diving? I mean, till you feel confident going under and extended period of time.
To get certified, it probably takes about 2 weeks because you have to do a theory and you have to sort of watch some videos and study a little bit about safety stops and certain depths and stuff like that.
Right.
And then you have to get a certain amount of dives in. And then once you've done that, you're certified. But then to get really comfortable and to get really going with it, I mean, it's just practice.
Right.
I would say the more dives you can get in, the better you become.
Yeah. I know I've always been fascinated with it and wanted to do it, but the whole breathing part kind of scares me. You know?
Well, she says you're safe, though.
I know. And you said the breathing is easy, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very easy. I mean, you just breathe in and out and you can see. It's very controlled. It's extremely relaxing.
Wow.
And it's the best sort of swimming you could ever do. I mean, it's very, very easy.
So, Lori, did you have to scuba dive in this?
Well, actually, I don't have a diving scene in the movie, but I am a certified scuba diver.
Oh, you are?
Yeah,
so
I've done plenty of underwater modeling.
Right.
And I am the director's also an underwater photographer, and that's where our relationship built. Because I worked in the Philippines with him for many shoots.
Wow.
Yeah, and I love from the first time, because I have always been in love with the ocean. I'm from Miami, and I'm Haitian, so I've always been thrown into water. That's how I learned to swim. My dad was like, you want to learn how to swim? Yeah. Water. And I was down there for a few seconds, and when he saw me pop back up, she knows how to swim, and that's the story of how
God,
I learned to swim.
I love
but,
it.
But it's a different world down there. It really, really is.
Yeah.
It really is a different world, and I've been very blessed. Because the Philippines is actually one of the best places to dive.
Oh, really?
There's so much marine life. Hmm. The water is so warm. Yeah. Now, I have a story about, like, usually you want to dive in a wetsuit, but I was so comfortable doing it, and we was on the boat, and I was, like, in my two-piece bikini, and I'm like, I'm going diving. Forget this. I don't want a wetsuit. I'm too cool for this. So I go under with the tank and everything with my bikini, and a school of clownfishes decide that I'm too close to their little area, and they start like pecking me and like chasing me away. Later I found out that I guess that's where their nests were, so the mother and the father and whoever else was there,
the aunts and uncles and
were just like
and cousins and second cousins.
I come on board and there's like little red spots all over. They're like, what happened to you? I'm like, the clownfish attacked me. I'm scared of sharks, but the clownfish got me.
Did it lucky hurt? It was clownfish and not barracuda.
I know. Yeah. It didn't hurt. It was more so like the dog, because they're so fast. Like, they nip you and you look and they're gone, and they're nipping you somewhere else. So it's like, what is attacking me? That was the scariest part.
Yeah.
So wear your wetsuit.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, don't you feel a lot of pressure, though, when you go down really deep? That would freak me out.
You said
140 feet. That's pretty deep.
That's very deep.
Yeah. I mean, so what happens with the pressure?
You have to make sure that you equalize.
Equalizing, yeah.
Oh, really?
You blow your nose.
Holding your nose.
Holding
your nose. And then blowing the air sort of through into your nose. I'm blowing it right now. I'm like, sounding really nasal. But yeah, you've got to make sure you equalize. And then at that depth as well, a lot of people suffer narcosis. They knock out, which means you get sort of the sensation of being drunk.
Right.
Intoxicated. And so a lot of people start giggling and doing somersaults and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously when you're surrounded by 10 sharks, that can be a little dangerous. But luckily on that dive, nobody did knock out.
Yeah.
So. But another thing that it's not like we just jump off a boat and go all the way down to 140 feet. It takes time. You go maybe 15, 20 feet. You stay there for a little while, so your body and everything gets adjusted, and then you proceed down. And so it's different stages of just going deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's the same thing going up, because going up can be the most dangerous part. Going down is nothing compared to going up, because when you're going up, you have to, there's these checkpoints I guess.
Safety stops.
Yeah, where you have to let your body release all the oxygen that's in your system and everything.
And adjust to the pressure because the more shallow that you get once you're coming up, the more dangerous it is because of the pressure from the air.
Right.
And, you know, when you're doing a 140-foot dive like the Blue Hole, you know, you can be down there for a maximum of 5 minutes and then you have to do a safety stop for 5 minutes. But to be extra safe, the dive masters would take us down there for 3 minutes and then do a 7 minute safety stop at a certain depth, you know, on the way up, because you can't just come straight up. That's more dangerous than being surrounded by sharks, as if you were to shoot straight up.
We're scaring them.
No, I'm just like, I'm like cringing. I can't. I'm so proud of you. I'm like your mother. I'm so proud of you. I just don't know if I could. I mean, it's so dark down there, and just like that, hearing all, I would freak fuck out.
But it seems, you know, I mean, it seems like it would be a lot of fun, you know.
It's a lot of fun.
You know, once you get over the fears and everything, but not
you
for you,
into
huh?
It gradually. I mean, you know, once you start learning to dive, you get more and more confident. You're not going to do the Blue Hole the first dive that you do. There's absolutely no way.
Yeah.
You would learn to dive first. You would do probably around 20 dives, and then you'd feel confident to do something a little bit more adventurous like that. The Blue Hole is an extremely straightforward dive. It's just deep.
Yeah.
And there's sharks down there.
But they don't really eat you, do they?
No.
Okay.
You're not shark food, really.
No, they don't want to eat you. And you're not
on the surface flapping around like a seal like you would be if you were snorkeling. You are in their environment.
Okay, but hold on. Back it up here. Okay, but there is still shark attacks. So what is it that, like, okay, if we're not shark food, then why do they attack us?
Statistically, most shark attacks happen in, like, 3 foot
shallow,
of water.
Yeah.
Some shallow. Really shallow waters.
For what reason? Like what? Because they
come to the shore for their food. They feed on the shore.
Right.
So they see us as food then.
Yes.
They don't really eat people. They'll take a bite occasionally, but they, you know, don't usually eat people.
Yeah. But a bite,
you tell
hold
that
on.
To that girl surfer
I
from
know,
Hawaii.
But a bite is like losing a limb here, guys.
Yeah,
a bite is not like a little nick from like a jellyfish or whatever you got bit, a clownfish.
Yeah.
Like a bite is like, let me pull your arm off too.
Yeah. Now, I'm fascinated with what movie Amelia started with. You were on Snakes on a Train.
Yes.
You were not.
Yes.
You were?
Yes.
And that came after Snakes on a Plane, right?
It came around the same time, actually.
Really?
It was a new genre of film that was, you know, sort of came to light once Snakes on a Train came out. It was, they called it the mockbuster genre.
Really?
And, it was a lot of fun. It was just a, you know, a cult little
indie. So you worked with... Oh my God, why can't I think of his name right now?
No, he was on Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're talking about Samuel L. Jackson?
Yes, thank you.
Right.
But Snakes on a Train is different.
It's different.
Okay.
So, Snakes on a Train was the first movie I ever did, and it was like this cult little indie movie set on a train, and everybody, you know, sort of was being attacked by all these snakes because there was this Mayan curse that was put on this woman, and she was sort of becoming a giant snake, and all these snakes were...
Oh, my God. Who would want to watch a movie like that, let alone act in one?
Oh, my God.
I mean, we were working with real snakes, so
really?
It was pretty
I'm
compelling,
sure.
like, watching the snakes actually on the shoot. I
really?
Was terrified of snakes. I couldn't
I'm
believe.
Sure. Most people are, you know that.
I feel like you've gotten over every single fear of yours in your life. Like sharks and snakes and what else? What else do you have here? It's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting, but you never know what's going to be thrown at you as an actor.
Yeah, it's true.
Just you have to be prepared for anything, and I think actors, you know, to be as you progress with your craft and your career, you really have to develop your curiosity with things your sense of curiosity and interest.
So now, I mean, were you like really in close proximity with real snakes?
Yes, I mean,
really?
We had one 25-foot snake, I think.
Wow.
It was huge, and everybody was just silent. You know, it was just silence, like, on set, just because everybody was so, like, in shock. This dinosaur was on set, almost.
Do you like snakes now?
I wouldn't say I like snakes. I see them a lot because I go hiking constantly.
Oh, okay.
Like, 1 week, I think I saw 9 snakes.
Where the heck do you go hiking?
Wow.
I go to Joshua Tree. I go to the San Gabriels, San Bernardinos, Sierras.
Okay.
Santa Monica
so
Mountains.
Big hikes, not like Runyon, where I go, which is like not really a hike.
That's where
like
everybody goes.
I know, yeah. And we're like, I'm going hiking today. No, you're not. You're really walking. It's cool. So you do like big hikes. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm still not comfortable completely with snakes. I wouldn't say.
Oh, girl. I applaud you. I applaud you.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And so, Lori, how did you start? You were modeling, and how did you transition into acting?
I just pretty much, it's always been something I was interested in. Mm-hmm. Even when I was in high school, I was part of the drama, you know, department, and I acted, and I wanted to
Did you grow up in Haiti, or at what age did you...
I was actually born in Haiti. Born in Miami, excuse me. I was born in Miami. I have actually 10 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
And only my eldest was... Yes, Jesus, football team. Only my eldest sister was born in Haiti. The rest of us was born in Miami. However, I've been there plenty of times before, and we were brought up in the Haitian culture while in Miami, so it's a big part of me and my personality and everything, I guess.
Talking about Haiti last week.
Yeah.
I didn't know where it was.
Because we were talking about
anything.
We were talking about French influence and stuff, so that's how we got on Haiti. Remember?
Yeah. Lots of people don't know where Haiti is. It's not until like. It's sad to say the earthquake that people really started to shine a light on Haiti and started to learn about the culture and everything. And it's still, you know, something that a lot of people don't know about.
Right.
So my sister and I actually were part of a charity. It's called the Haiti Development Project. And it's just pretty much promoting education in Haiti because everybody wants to help by giving food and clothing and water. And that's all great. That's really great. But when we all leave, what can we leave them to progress? Right. And education is the biggest thing. You know, for a country to succeed, that's how my father was strong on education. He felt like if you're going to make it, you could have money, but if you're dumb, you're not going to succeed. So you need to have the knowledge and then go after the money and then you can succeed.
Yeah. Well, with 10 kids, you'd hope he wants everybody to take care of themselves as soon as possible.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah, my family is crazy. Like, my eldest sister is a lawyer. My second eldest is in med school. And then I have my brothers are in business. And then I have mechanics. And then I have artists. And then I have basketball players. I have football players. It's so much. It's such a big family, but we love each other and it's a crazy family. Yeah.
Wow.
I need to write a book.
You should. I'm writing a book too. I just learned. But I don't know about what.
Oh,
I remember last week we had an astrologer come.
Well, I thought you made any advances since then.
It's been a week.
Yeah, you got to get going.
I figured out what I'm going to do. She's like, you're going to be writing a book. I was like, great. Can you tell me what on? But no, did you know anybody in the earthquake, like family?
I did. Yeah. I have.
They're all okay?
Well, we lost a couple family members.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
My mom, this is a crazy story that you brought up. My mom was actually in Haiti because she vacations there all the time. She was in Haiti during the earthquake.
Really?
Oh yeah, God. And I spoke to her early. Like, she called me like at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I had this wonderful talk with her. And she's like, just casual, you know. And I'm just like, oh, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I just got to Port-au-Prince because she lives outside of Port-au-Prince. Oh, we're gonna be here for the weekend and going to the market. And it's by chance that we talked, and she told me where she was going. Like, you know, because I hadn't heard from her since she left Miami.
Right.
And then I'm driving to audition, like casting, because I was in Miami driving to casting. My phone is blowing up, and I'm like, I hate picking up my phone while I'm driving, but it's like that many people calling. I pick it up, and I'm like, what's going on? Have you spoke to mom? Yeah, she's fine. I spoke to her today. She's gonna go to the market to go get some plantains, and they're having, you know, they're cooking some griot, and you know, I'm just casual, like, well, there was an earthquake in Haiti. I'm like, what are you talking about? Earthquakes don't happen in Haiti. What are you talking about? She's like, no, seriously.
Wow.
So I pull off, you know, and I go. I have the iPhone, so I'm searching the news and like, seriously, there is an earthquake in Haiti.
Wow.
So I immediately start calling back the number where she called me from, and of course I couldn't hear from her. So after like 3 or 4 days of being unable to reach my mother, myself and my eldest sister Neil and her boyfriend, we flew to the Dominican Republic because there was no way of getting into Haiti through Haiti. So we flew to the Dominican Republic and pretty much hitchhiked our way to the border.
Really?
And we paid them. We were ready to climb over. They say, whether you let us over, we're going to climb. You're going to have to shoot me because my mom is there and I have to go find out what happened.
Yeah.
So eventually we paid them to cross the border and we hitchhiked from Dominican Republic all the way to Port-au-Prince. I mean, sitting on the back of a pickup truck with chickens and goats and seriously,
God.
And 30 people stacked on top of each other. Like your body, my arms were limp, my legs were limp.
Oh
it
my
was,
God.
And, but we had to do that. And My sister boyfriend is he's actually Irish. Mm-hmm. So two black chicks and a tall white Irish guy, we draw attention. So people wanted to know, what are we doing here? Who are you? Right. So just by that, and just, and Haiti is big, but it's actually really small as well, because everybody knows each other, yeah, especially sure. My last name, Prudent, is a popular name there. So I was just asking, do you know Marie August? You know, she was married to so-and-so. Have you seen her? Oh, yeah, I saw her. She was on that village. They would trek to that village. Yeah, she was here a day ago. She went that way. So it was kind of like a crazy chase. And by the end of it, our third day there, we were exhausted. And we were starting to, like, lose hope. Like, oh, my gosh. Everywhere we go, they say they saw her. But they, that was before the earthquake. Or that was, you know. So the last spot we were going to search before heading back home just so happened to be Port-au-Prince, which is like a couple hours away from Port-au-Prince, because everybody had left Port-au-Prince by then because of the smell of death in the air, and there was no clean water, there was no food, so everybody went back, they sent everybody back to their own province. And so we were directed to this missionary house because, you know, they thought my sister's boyfriend was a missionary. And right across the street, we went to this missionary house, and it goes, oh, no, sorry, we don't have anyone by the name of Marie here. I'm sorry, we can't help you. And it's like, well, you can't sleep here, but you might want to go knock across the street, and maybe they'll let you sleep, because we're like, we have nowhere to sleep. So we go there, and I'm like ringing, you know, you never know. So I ring the doorbell, and I'm knocking, and they're like, who is it? I'm like, it's Lori. They're like, Lori who? Lori Pruden from Miami. Miami? What do you want? Yeah, I'm looking for my mother. And I tell her name and everything. She has 11 kids. And I just start rambling. And just like, and then it gets quiet. And I don't hear anything. And then somebody comes down and open the gate. And they're like, come here. And I'm like, okay. They don't say anything to us. So we walk to the house. We walk through. And it's like full of people. Because, you know, nobody had anywhere to stay. So they were just letting everyone come in who could.
Yeah. So that's just one big mess. That's it.
No. Yeah. We walk in. And sleeping on a makeshift bed is my mother.
Oh, okay, cool. So you found her.
We found her.
Yeah.
She was like a little bruised and everything. But. Yeah. Traumatized, but she was okay. And we flew back.
Thank God. How did you guys get out of there?
Oh, we traveled right back to Port-au-Prince. We took bus and
did the same thing you did on the way there, pretty much.
Yeah, but then we, instead of going back to Dominican Republic, we went to Port-au-Prince because they were flying American citizens out with the huge Navy planes. Like, it was amazing. Right, that's how we were flown back to the U.S.
Sounds good.
Crazy. Okay.
Well, Deep Gold, Trust No One in 3D.
3D.
Did you guys get to see it in 3D as well?
Yes, we did.
Was it awesome?
Amazing, cool. Yeah. There's all these, like, old vintage warplanes, you know, Vietnamese warplanes, like, flying into you and stuff. out of the screen.
I'm so excited to see this.
It's great,
And you get to see yourselves bigger than life in 3D on the screen.
Yeah, so amazing. You can reach out and, like, scratch you.
Touch each other.
so cool.
What's in the future for you guys? Are you working on another movie now? I would imagine you're probably going to go each one his own way now, or her own way.
Well, and continue. No, they're going to do movies together for the rest of their
lives. Yeah, exactly. They show up as a team.
Just the two of them.
Yeah, hire us as a team.
They're sisters. Can you tell? Yeah. They look so much alike.
We are. We're sisters.
I mean, and you guys came from such diverse backgrounds. I mean, totally different. You know? I mean,
totally.
One from Haiti and the other one from the UK and everything. So, I mean, total polar opposites, you know. Yeah. And it's cool because, you know, here in America, you know, everybody meshes together, you know, and it's really cool, I think.
Oh, I think Laurie and I actually have a lot in common. You
we
know,
do.
We might not look similar at all, but we are soul sisters.
Really?
Laurie and I, we have so much in common. We see eye to eye like you would not believe.
Aww. Wow, that's
and
good.
And actually, we will be working on another movie together.
That's
a dance
so
movie.
Funny.
Yeah. For Bigfoot as well, that Michael Gleisner will be directing. He's a fantastic director. And it's been, you know, an absolute pleasure working with him on Deep Gold, and we can't wait to work with him again.
Aww, yeah, a dance movie.
We just found out about it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what kind of dance?
I think it's pretty much hip hop, but one thing about, because it's also going to be filmed in the Philippines and in Florida. Jeez. One thing, the Filipinos are big on dancing.
Whether
it's ballroom, hip hop.
Really?
Yeah, they're amazing dancers, really.
Can you two dance?
Oh, I can groove.
Yeah, we can move.
We can move.
They're soul sisters.
Apparently. Yeah. That is so great, you guys. Well, we will definitely keep our eyes out for you.
Yeah, so everybody go out and see Deep Gold.
3D.
I'm sorry. Deep Gold 3D. Don't forget that. And you said in L.A. it plays where again?
It's playing at the Bigfoot Crest Theater.
Okay.
On Westwood.
Uh-huh.
I'm not from here, so I couldn't give the exact address, but Google it. It's the Bigfoot Crest Theater on Westwood.
Cool. Fantastic. And how many theaters have they released it around the country? Do you know?
I know it's being shown here in L.A. It's being shown in Vegas. It's being shown in
Colorado, Orange County, Pennsylvania, Georgia. Where else? I'm not sure. But it's playing all over the place nationwide.
Awesome.
And I think it may get a wider release. That's what they're hoping after this, initial release.
You can actually visit the website deepgoldmovie.com, and all the theaters are listed there.
Yeah, deepgoldthemovie.com.
Yes.
The movie?
Yeah. No, actually not the movie, but Deep Gold Movie.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought it was the movie.
Well, maybe they bought that one too. Who knows?
Either way, it will bring you to the right place on the website.
Okay, ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys,
thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Much success with the film and the rest of your careers and everything. And try not to dive in too deep, if I can leave you with anything. All right, Stephanie,
thank you all so much. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
See you all tomorrow.
Pleasure meeting you guys.
Oh, thank
you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone, we'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam and Stephanie in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all communication to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Stephanie is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.